to the In His Voice podcast, hosted by me, Rob L. Lowe, where we talk about everything from the bedroom to the boardroom, from the playground to the stadium, and everything in between without ever bashing women. And today's show, I actually have a good friend on the show that I went to high school with. So we graduated over 35 years ago from high school, and I haven't seen him since then. And I was able to connect with him on social media over the years. And he reached out to me. He saw the podcast. And he told me about a really interesting book that he wrote. And after that, I said, dude, you know, I think it'd be great. He said, you know, would you mind having me on the podcast? And after he talked about his book and some of the things that he's researched and discussed or discovered, there's no way I could not have him on the podcast. So, welcome to the In His Voice podcast. Guest today, my man, Anthony Scholler. Anthony, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to see you. It's been over 35 years, and wow, it's the time.
Well, man, well, listen, it has been, and we have been working like crazy trying to get the technical equipment here to work over the last 2 days so we can film this podcast. But I think we got it. So
all right.
This is one I'm shooting by myself. I had to go get a lot of extra equipment and buy some software. But you know what? It's better late than never. So listen, introduce yourself, man. Tell the audience who you are and today's show, man, we're going to talk about your book and some of the beliefs that are surrounded in it. So talk a little about yourself.
Anthony Scholler, Indianapolis, Indiana, graduated from Howe High School, class of 1988. Haven't been doing too much, just working and, you know, surviving, making a living, that's all I can say about that. And lately, about the last 5 years, I decided to write a book, something I discovered, a blueprint in the Bible. And I feel like this is unexplored information that obviously nobody else is breaking down or making an observation out of it. So that's when I decided to write this book. So it happened during the pandemic. There's a lot of key words in there, like the quarantine and all this stuff in the Bible. Also made a reference to, like, wow, that's like science in the Bible, too. So I made that reference, and I got the book, GDC.
All right, well, look, man, as you can see, I put it up on the screen. For people to see, and they can go order the book on Amazon and other platforms. But let's talk about it. Let's jump into it, man. You know, my show is really about, you know, talking about those stories that apply to men or interest men, whether good or bad, hurt or joy, that things that don't often get talked about, things that generally kind of get overlooked. And your book and the discussion we had yesterday is really something I think readers and would want to read about. If you're a person who likes to expand the way that you view the world and view things, you like to challenge yourself on traditional thought processes, you enjoyed the book. Hopefully our viewers would enjoy the discussion because we did it yesterday, dude, and I was blown away. So
all right.
I want you... And I'll ask questions, but I'm going to try to be quiet. I want to hear your perspective on what you think are the critical points in the book. Like, what should readers, when we talk about this book, what should readers want to take away from the book?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that you're doing a great job giving a platform for men only. You know, the women got Oprah Winfrey and Beyonce, and nobody's really talking about the men's side of the point of view that's going to bring it, you know, uplift us and put us on a higher pedestal about what's going on in the inside of men, what were we thinking. And so, as far as my book goes, I discovered, I'm going to do a history about my book. First of all, when I decided to write my book because of first of all, I started reading the Bible, and I said, there's too many preachers teaching too many different things, and too many denominations teaching, you know, everything is sporadic in the Bible. I want to read the Bible for myself and get a direct understanding for myself.
Okay.
And that way I can draw closer to God myself, you know, personal opinion. And, you know, when somebody tells me about the Bible, I'd be like, oh, I read that. You can't tell me anything. You can't toss me around. So that's what my point of reading the Bible. Then upon that, I discovered a blueprint in the Bible. After this got something to do with medical, there's so many hints with medical in it, and nobody's bringing it out. And I see why. Because of evolution. A lot of Christians have strayed away from science due to evolution. And I think 80% of us are naive about medical. We leave it up to the doctors. So we're not going to dig into it. And then you got some people who know medical, but they don't know the Bible. You got some people who know the Bible, they don't know medical. Then we're a divided community. And people who read my book said that I broke that down very simple as far as them to understand the science in the Bible. So you don't need for them to do too much resource. So that was a good thing about some of my readers who read my book who said that. But after discovering the blueprint, I started to study medical because I couldn't find nobody. I said, I told God, you know, in private prayer, I said, I need somebody to bring up the science out of the Bible. And when I started talking to people about it, my concept, they're like, you can't mix science with the Bible. That don't make sense, you know, especially medical science. But people didn't get the concept.
Okay.
So I was forced to do my own research, which is crazy. I got C's and D's in science in high school. And once I started doing my research, I started with biology, you know, starting with cells, you know, cytology, studying that. And I ended up studying the 11 body functions, you know, integral major system, the muscular system, the veins, the brain, neurological. I started, because you can't study one thing out of the anatomy and physiology. You have to study the whole concept in order to get the idea of how God created us.
So hold on, let me back up. So you had this ideal. Because you are rooted in a strong belief or a strong desire to understand what's in the Bible, right? So that was the drive. And did you start researching these different parts of the body, the functions, the anatomical makeup before you wanted to write the book, or was it because you wanted to write the book that you decided to go do all this additional research?
Well, like I said, I discovered, like, reading Leviticus, that's a forbidden act, and the foundation of it was from Leviticus, and there's some other foundation scriptures, supporting scriptures, and spread out throughout the Bible. And so when I start putting these concepts together, like, say, for instance, Jesus said, when Jesus healed the sick, he said, go to the priest and do your act of sacrifice because you broke the law of Moses. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. So healing and their sickness came from breaking the law. So they got some type of disease from breaking the law of Moses. So, and then there's another scripture that says, flee from fornication because you got sins from external bodies, which I thought is the Ten Commandments. Internal body. So sin, fornication is a sin against your own body to cause different diseases. So God was preparing us for STDs, which manifests us saying that liver connected with STDs, different infectious diseases. And so God gave us the do's and don'ts because we can see the microscopic things invisible to the human eye. We know a lot of our sins came from things we see on a microscope now. They do labs on our body and they do autopsies and all that kind of stuff. They draw the blood. And all that comes from information that God kind of prepared us to structure to avoid. And this is the manifestation of the conversion to modern science today.
Okay, man. You got to go deeper. So hold on. So let me make it simple. What's the correlation? What do you believe is the correlation between the things that people experience today in their life, in their health, in their walk with God or whatever spiritual entity they decide to follow, right? But we're talking about the Bible.
Yeah.
What about science affects that?
Well, okay, a lot of things that the Bible talks about, like, you sin is going to go from generation to generation. And I think before science became manifest, like just DNA within 1950s, as we started getting more information about DNA, we thought generation was a generation curse. But the Bible talks about, the Jewish people knew about sin causing generational error to their offspring. And so a lot of our diseases today are congenitive and degenerative or onset. A lot of it comes from our past family history of them doing some type of error. Maybe you may have a family member, you may have a family member that may have sex with a bestiality, all that affects the blood. And all that can come, and maybe they eat raw meat, you know, something. All that is called, which is written in the Bible, because it affects the blood. So anything the Bible in Leviticus says, if you do these things, you will put to death. So having anal sex or prostitution or adultery, all of them have a science indication that these are disease-positive actions. And so when you can convert that in today's time, it's the manifestation of STD. A lot of people wasn't living past, life expectancy back in 1900 wasn't past 57 years old. So that's why they made social security 65, because people weren't living that long.
Wow.
But people were dying of a lot of bacterial infections during that time. And it was amazing that, you know, antibiotics came out in, 1940?
Yeah.
And so life expectancy became much longer. And I heard about the military knowing that, hey, they cure for disease now. They start having sex overseas with them. You know, they have antibiotics to cure them. And then, you know, I feel like they probably became what it is today due to the fact that we got stuff to cure a lot of stuff. You know, a lot of our sin that became manifest today is because the liberation of it has come because of modern medicine. So we are trespassing God's laws due to there's a fact there's a cure for it. Because before, you wouldn't be raising your hand, hey, I'm happy to, you know, with a lot of music now, you know, and movies, you know, they promote a lot of sexual innuendos, you know, having multiple sex partners, and this couldn't be before 1940. So modern medicine has made it available for us to be, you know, very active sexually.
You know, I'm over here and I'm typing in stuff like generational curses. Just to look and see what, you know, the Bible says about it. And I'll share it with you so you can see. And I'll leave it in there for our viewers. And it says, a generational curse is a habit or behavior that has been passed down from one generation. Parents strive to make sure that that the life that they lead with will help their children live a better one. Children practice what they have learned on their own. And so we tend to think generational curses are only in actions, right? We tend to think generational curses are only in actions, right? We don't often think about generation curses manifest themselves or showing up in our physical ailments. Right, our makeup, our DNA. And so what you're saying is you're not disputing that generational curses show up in how we act, right? But what I think you're trying to say is that in addition to that, generational curses show up in our health, right?
Yeah, right? For sure.
Go ahead.
Over 4,000 years, it was given to us by the Bible. You know, that recessive and dominant genes comes from the error. Once Jesus had a quote in scripture when he was healing a sick person, some guy asked him, did his parents sin or was it something that he done? And Jesus said, neither. Just showed that it could have been something accidental. That's the only thing I can think of that avoids generational sin. He could have had an accident where he was blind. He wasn't born with it. Or his parents didn't do anything, but they knew, the Jewish people knew about sin causes hereditary diseases. And so now modern science named it a recessive and dominant gene. And so when those things get passed down, like with sickle cell, You know, it could be some error from some animal contact. It could be something, a lot of these zoonotic diseases can be a problem. So, so it passes down like that from generation to generation. So a lot of our diseases, I call it a mutation of human species. It means the protection of Jesus, the protection of Adam and Eve. We are a mutated species from them due to sin. We're gravitated away from perfection. So a lot of stuff is going on. You can project it through the blood. That these things, God saw this from far off. This is kind of diseases and sickness we're going to have in the last days.
Wow. What type of, you mentioned earlier, like people like, you can't say that. What type of, pushback, resistance have you got? And then also, what type of support have you got since the book has been out?
Oh, you know what? A lot of people think that science is complex and that religions shouldn't mix together. And one person told me that after they read my book, they became a super fan, it seemed like it. They're like, you're one of a kind of person that has done this. Nobody has ever decided to do this. It's going to set you apart from any other person teaching Christianity. And they're like, wow, they can't believe it. He's a preacher too, has a degree in theology. He said, wow, this makes sense. And it's very simple. It's not very complex. A lot of people read my book. Once they read it, they're like, wow, you really made it make sense. You know, most people were skeptical about mixing science with the Bible. But I made it very simple and simplest form. It's nothing that you need to go research or go out of your way to say, let me make sure what you think is right. Because I got the four scriptures and I have the science and evidence. Very simple science. I broke a lot of stuff down. Because medical is very complex. It just has to be broken down into simpler form, like fractions. I call it like breaking down like fractions. You know, it can be broken down in simpler form. So that's what my book is. It's not nothing complex. It flows very smoothly. And be able to comprehend very easily, anybody from any grade level, so any educational background, you can get the concept of it very easily. So that's what they like about my book.
Man, I was sitting here researching because I don't know, and I was trying to see, the concept of Scientology, like. And to see if what you're saying lines up, but it says the core beliefs hold that a human is an immortal spiritual being, a deity, right? That is resident in a physical body. I don't think that's what we're saying. Scientology describes itself as the study and healing of the spirit in relationship to itself. Okay. All right. Well, we know that's not what we're talking about today. But I think other people like myself would have heard what you're saying and start talking about science and the correlation with the Bible, and then wonder, is he talking about Scientology? Is he on the bandwagon with Tom Cruise and all these other folks? Question for you. What was the process like writing this book? How did you start? How long did it take? How did you know when you were done?
I thought about the Scientology of it. I was like, wow, I wonder why they're so secretive. Could this be a connection to why they think religion is outdated and out of place? And that's the reason why they keep it so secretive and out of most people, acknowledgement of it.
Uh-huh.
And because when I study, I'm like, the last 5 years, I'm like, I wish I knew this at the age of 18. Because I would avoid a lot of stuff. Anatomy and physiology is something that everybody should know. We should know the basic concept of our body. And the basic concept of our body becomes, it makes you draw closer to God, too.
Mm-hmm.
If he has this created qualities in us, how there's laws. When you study the doctors, there are laws of the body and study the body. There's laws and rules and regulations, and that's the reason why this goes against where God, when he wrote the Bible, how you can't do everything once you got specifications designed, that when you cross them, it causes error in the body. And so that's what sin does to our body. we trespass God's law, we trespass in his creation boundaries and limitations. And so that's the reason why when you see today's time is that you see a lot of kids, especially 18, 20, we're talking in high school how they be fast, multiple sex partners.
Mm-hmm.
They have three or four relationships and sex partners before they are out of high school or before they're 25 years old before they decide to get married to one person. You know, all of that, your immune system plays a role in that. That's the most important, the immune system. You don't need to have HIV or AIDS to have your immune system get weak. You can have bad habits, sexual bad habits, because the bacteria properties and cell domains play an important role. They have specifications. If you go outside of boundaries and limits, they weaken your immune system. And your immune system is the lifespan of the soul. You know, the older you get, the more your immune system get weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you are sinning so much, you make your immune system get weaker. And, you know, some people can get, like I said, when some people are getting COVID and flu, they're not surviving because they could have some type of sexual or some type of exposure. It could be atmosphere, too. Don't get me wrong. Atmosphere or, you know, exposure to the elements of the earth, too, or even some of the things that you clean with. You know, a lot of stuff is environmental, that's the word. A lot of stuff is environmental causes sickness and illness, too. So I don't not exclude that, too.
But so hold on. Am I hearing you correct? You just to be clear, you're saying that some diseases that people acquire in their life, we attribute some to environmental issues, right?
Yeah.
We attribute some to, I don't know, exposure issues somewhere else, whether it's environmental. But you're saying some, because of, you know, science says that some are hereditary. But you're saying some are hereditary because they were rooted in sins. Of previous family members in their lineage. Is that correct?
That's one. Someone's onset. The onset is that when you have a sexual behavior that's like you're committing adultery, fornication, multiple sex partners, your interactions with sex, where you're having, there's a lot of bacteria that we spread around throughout the body. That's how we get our sexual diseases. So it can be your variety. But I'm saying that those things cause your immune system to get weak because your immune system plays a role. Your immune system is very quiet. Your immune system is adaptive and innate immune system. And they can play a role without you even knowing they're playing a role. They can get rid of a virus without you knowing you're getting a virus sometimes and get rid of it. And so your immune system either fight for you or it would adapt it as a genetic connection to your body is and something you can pass down through generation after generation if it can't fight it. If your immune system can't fight something, it will adapt it into your DNA. And that, therefore, it becomes a hereditary trait to your offspring.
Wow. And it's not necessarily. Well, let me say it's the only way that the sin is passed through the bloodline, or is acquired into the bloodline is through sex. Are you saying that the only way the person, attracts sin, or the only way a person can pass down sin in their bloodline is because they acquired the sin through some type of sexual contact, or
that's one.
Okay.
Yeah, there's variations of that. All the forbidden acts and I think too much sex was the more focused in Leviticus, but you can focus through animal contact,
okay.
A lot of blood. I mean, the blood is the information system of the body. So when a doctor does your blood, just to see if your blood levels are in homeostasis level, make sure the pH balance and, you know, everything's balanced in your body. You know, if something can be low or something can be high in your blood panel, that can be an indication of some form of malfunction or some disease coming on. It's like the black box, I call it. You know, you like to do autopsy on your body. Your body records a lot of things you do. I think that you have T memory cells. A lot of memory cells have a lot of information to what happened to you after you passed away or what's going on in your body as you're living. And so so the body teaches the doctor how to be a doctor. I kind of find that out. So they have to follow in the rules of creation, boundaries, and limitations. So that's God. So I feel like that Leviticus is set apart. The first five books of the law is set apart from any other religion that is out there, because it tells something that no other religion thinks to tap upon, your health. And that's where health is a sin when you go outside of creation boundaries.
You know, yesterday when we were talking, you mentioned body laws versus another type of laws, right? What were the other laws?
There's our external laws or the Ten Commandments, something that affects your body outside of law. Leviticus laws is internal laws.
Okay.
It affects the blood. Affects the blood. And that's the reason why the Hebrews had to do things to the priests as far as Leviticus breaking the laws of sin, because they had to do a gift offering or some type of sacrifice or some type of animal to drain the blood or something that forgive their sins or whatever it was that they done. And so when Jesus was healing sick people back in the day, he said, go to the priest because he had broke the law of Moses. So it could have been bestiality, it could have been prostitution, it could have been same-sex interaction. It could have been something along that line, or they ate the raw meat. They were been eating raw meat. They had to consider meat thoroughly and drain the blood. So, because the blood is the main system of the body. And we couldn't find that today, in society today, that comes from your blood your soul of how you exist, your DNA, and all your function of your body is through your blood system. You know, you need water, food to survive, and all that. Macromolecules are from your food, and they turn to microelements. It turns into microelements in your body. So it's not the same as when you eat it. The body converts it to something of a chemical nature, to the point where, like I said, when people do a forbidden things with semen, after it becomes an element, it's not the same as a protein that you can ingest as if you can ingest protein to make it. It becomes an element. And so they had like science laws come into play after you, that's why semen is forbidden. If it gets on your clothes, you gotta wash it. If it gets on your skin, you gotta wash it. It made that in Leviticus 15, where that sin was unclean after it comes out. After it does, after procreation. You know, if you're not using procreation, it becomes an element of disease causing agent.
It's interesting you say that, right? I've never heard that, but it makes sense. It makes sense. So you're saying in Leviticus, the Bible says that, does it say specifically semen, or we're saying in this case, semen, when it is not used in the sense of procreation, which is what it's designed for, if it gets anywhere outside of that, it is unclean and it becomes an element potentially for sickness, disease, something like that, right?
Exactly.
And hold on, I'm gonna pause because I like what you're saying. I've never heard it, but semen by nature contains sperm, and sperms automatically know how to swim to go find the egg. That's what they're trained to do. So when they're not in that environment, it doesn't make sense to them. Like, what are they supposed to do? Like, they're trained to go, and so. Now I'm gonna come back and say, okay, so when semen, you talked about protein. So when semen is released and it's not in that thing, it creates potential risks and opens up the door for illness, sickness. But does it also create a window for sin to be transferred, because it's been transferred in other places of the body where it's not designed to be?
Yes, exactly. That's where you get the abomination of sin, especially in homosexuality, where it says the semen is already unclean. In Leviticus 15, then Leviticus 17, it says if it's already unclean outside your body, get on your clothes and on your neck, you got clean and quarantine for a day because you got semen on you. Think of if you put it in the wrong place. And so in the anal, and then you got different, like I said, body properties. You got different bacterial properties in your body that forbid.
And that applies to men and women, right? We're not just singling out gay men. We're talking about if if that happens and that's where it's put, then in from what you study and understand, that creates the risk for sowing sin and also potential health risk, but sowing sin because it is used outside of what God intended it for.
Yes, exactly. That's what people are getting confused that as saying that God doesn't like gay people, and they pretty much adopt it as their own personal reason for hatred. And you know, women use it as our contraceptive reason, anal sex. You know, when they don't want to get pregnant. So that was another reason why they were using it. So they said more women have anal sex than men. So wow, I just didn't know that back in the day. So there was a reason for using it for contraceptive reason. So that was kind of surprising to hear that.
You know, when you share this, because I'm here and I'm thinking about, okay, people are going to watch the podcast, and I got to make sure that they hear what he's saying. He's not criticizing people because of their sexual orientation. He's not criticizing women if they decide to have anal sex. All he is saying is according to what he has read and understood in the book of Leviticus, right, semen is designed by God for procreation. Right?
Exactly.
And procreation happens with a man and a woman through the vaginal tract up through the uterus into the tubes to where it finds an egg. Outside of that, and people argue, well, what happens when they take it and they put it in in vitro fertilization, in vitro?
Oh, okay.
Right? And so, but I wanted to make that clear because I don't want people to take out of context. But some of what you're saying, as controversial as it sounds, makes a lot of sense. What I want you to expound on is, man, this idea that if semen or other blood, whatever, other parts of the body that exposes fluids are absorbed in places where they shouldn't be or in people they shouldn't be, right? So, and I'll go. So, kissing someone you shouldn't kiss, right? You're exchanging saliva, you're exchanging fluids, you're exchanging DNA. Does that also create the risk of putting sin into the body that can be passed down now through your DNA and through your bloodline for lineages for future family members?
Well, you know, you have bacterial properties, and your cells, you have 40 trillion cells, they have specifications. They are designed to do special things. And like I said, when they go out of their means by cross-contamination, some interaction that we do cause those cells to go out of their place, cause the bacteria to be out of place. And more so, your immune system get involved. So kissing multiple people—that's why marriage is so important, because your immune system gets activated with that person's body.
Mm.
Just like COVID, when everybody had COVID in your household, everybody was immune to each other. But when you go outside of that, it was chance you could spread that immune system, your COVID, to other people. But inside, there's a possibility that you could more be okay with it. Because your immune system is activated with, just like a baby. You know, a baby can be immune to everybody in the house, so another baby comes over from outside, all of a sudden they get sick. So your immune system is very important. I mean, you got several different immune cells, innate and adaptive immune system. And I would say for procreation, a woman's body gets activated with her husband, and they become one flesh, because their immune system becomes unique to each other as far as being adapted to each other. And so that's why a woman's immune system takes in 90% of the sperm for it takes one egg just to make a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so where I get that from is in the Bible, when it says when you have sex with a prostitute, you become one flesh with her. And so then it goes with one flesh with the marriage person. So when you dissect that information compared to science, you get the reason what God is saying. So it has a lot of, the Bible has a lot of science indications, but we have to do our research on our own and connect the dots. And that's the reason why we get our sin and our microbiology all the stuff that was invisible to the eye is now manifest today. If we correlate it together and merge the information together, we get a reason why God said the do's and the don'ts. Not because of principles, or not because he said so, but because there's our action potentials behind it.
If a person or persons inherit generational curses, either in the form of, well, I think I'm going to say that. I got to approach this in two parts. Can a person who inherited generational traits to commit sin because of the acts of their forefathers or foremothers, and it's passed down through bloodlines, right? But if a person decides that I'm going to break this trait, I'm not going to manifest that sin in my life. I'm not going to do it. I know it was passed down, but that sin stops with me. Does that trait still get passed on to the next person in the bloodline, even though the person made a conscious decision to not do it?
Yes. Sin is absolute, not something you can get rid of unless Jesus is here to cure you. So you cannot avoid generational sin that's been passed down. He could be the perfect person in church and never sin, but yet you have some type of trait in you that was a sin from your forefathers that you didn't commit, but yet their error is in you. Wow. And therefore, a lot of people have succumbed to the errors of their ancestors and not of their fathers. But I don't know, God knows the difference between what's generational sin and what sin you aren't set, or what sin is degenerative. So what sin is environmental. I'm sure he's very much aware of your body function. That's the reason why, you know, it's good to know our body function, our body laws, and our mind rules, because we know we can avoid a lot of stuff. And so it's good to know our body laws. They're in connection with the Bible laws.
Body laws with the Bible laws. So, and there's internal, right, in Leviticus. There's external, right, what you say is the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments, yes. I think the church is confused with that. That's the reason why they think it's a principle. And every church teaches a principle of sin, thinking that it's still okay to break the law without the consequences. And they're not connecting the dots together. That's what we need to do in the Christian faith. We need to connect the dots in order to know that you have consequences. Because why are we still having generations of people still get molested, still having incest, and they're doing it in the church? And those things, because they think it's a principle, it's just a word of do's and don'ts. And we do it all, just pray for forgiveness of sin. Those things you ask us forgive your sins. It's not that easy. You're going to still walk with the consequences of your sins when you trespass God's law. You may be forgiven, but it's just those sins don't remain.
It's amazing because, you know, often generational curses are talked about in the sense of I'm going to break these bad things that happen in my life, right? But
yes.
But it's not always talked about I'm going to break the bad traits that I have the propensity to go do. It's in me. I feel this in me. Not about what happened to me, but about what I do to people or what I'm have a tendency to do. And you're saying that, hey, listen, you could do that. You know, you can truly make a conscious effort to not manifest that sin in your life. But that does not negate that you still carry the trait and will pass it down.
Yeah. Also, I think we should divide that into two different forms.
Okay.
A generation curse that's mental, and a generation curse that has a physical element to it.
Yep.
You know, so I'm sure that we can make a distinction between those two and know how to, you know, acknowledge it as something you can change mentally, or, you know, by not avoiding some things or teaching your kids not to, you know, we always say, you know, we're not going to eat pork like our parents raised us on. You know, we got certain things that our parents did to us that we say we're not going to do. And so it's the same thing. There's a lot of stuff we can break too. And to change our course, but some things like hereditary sin, genetic sin, receptive dominant genes are just going to be there no matter what. We're imperfect, and that imperfect is going to pass down no matter who we are or what we are to God or to ourselves. It's just something that God warned us about 4,000 years ago. This is what's going to happen to when your ancestors violate God's forbidden laws.
Well, I'm going to show the book again.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a couple minutes to do another plug on the book before we wrap up. So what is it? What would you like people to know about the book?
Well, I'd like to let them know that my book is not preaching to you. It's just stating some facts. It's not the traditional religion, theology, and traditional science. It's complicated. It's something that I made very logical and very concise and very easy to understand. So it's an information, I call it planet a new information. It's something that church is not discussing, certain things that science is not discussing, and that once we put the two together, we can really make a difference in the life, especially of our youth and our virgin. They're able to have tools and equipment to make, you know, effective change as far as before they start having sex. So they know all the laws and rules of God. They know how it's evidence backed up in science. So they have something to safeguard their minds when they're coming to, you know, choosing a sex partner and having, doctors are having multiple sex partners. You know, they won't be no guests for Jerry Springer and Maureen Povichur. They won't be coming, I don't know who my baby daddy is. I don't know who I had sex with. I don't know, forgot. You know, a lot of stuff that we're doing, I'm cheating on people and committing adultery, fornication. It hurts in a lot of people's emotional feelings that we want to. But once we know God's laws and there's rules behind it, and there's and we can be able to be a strong community again, you know.
Well, man, there's a lot in here, right? So when people see this, what I would encourage, you know, people who watch this podcast is go buy the book, do some research, understand that he is sharing a perspective. But he's not judging you. He's not condemning you. He's not telling you, you know, what your fate is. He's just trying to offer you some insight as to what he has learned and what he believes, things that we potentially could do to alter our futures or be aware of what's causing the things that happen in our lives. So, man, it's been an amazing dialogue. I got to thank you for being so patient. You know, this is our second attempt. I think we got it right. This is going to be an interesting show. And so, Anthony Scholler, brother, author, good guy, thank you for being a guest on the In His Voice podcast. Put up the book again.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
All right. And listen, you guys, go check out the book. It's on Amazon. And I'll see you next time on the In His Voice podcast. Take care.